from the first Kroger case as a laches defense. ERISA preempts state law, so the defense of laches or the defense of estoppel can only be created if it's consistent with the federal policies.
Well, as Judge Easterbrook points out in his concurrence in Grossman, when you apply a state statute of limitations, that often incorporates state law on laches. And one of the attractive things of his concurrence in that statute of limitations taken out of ERISA is that it overrides any laches defense.
Yeah, but I just don't think that laches is a statute of limitations.
Well, it's not the same thing, but you know, it makes it logical that if you're going to use the state statute of limitations, that other state factors come in.
But the statute of limitations would stay the same. It's still 10 years.
Well, that's for Illinois contract.
Correct. And that's and with respect to the statute of limitations issue, the best argument there is that the trust agreement, by contract, Kroger agreed that the Illinois 10-year statute of limitations would apply in this case. And also, this court in the Jordan decision adopted that case. Other courts have rejected the other options suggested by Kroger, the wage statute and the ERISA statute. Getting to the laches defense, Judge Guzman simply didn't believe that Kroger had proved that Central States had knowledge of its claim. Now, what Kroger, because Kroger didn't have the laches defense in the first case, it told Judge Guzman that it didn't plead it there because the delay from the time of that audit, beginning in 1987 until the first case was filed in 1993, was too short for laches to apply. So it has to show that the fund knew sometime before 1987 about its claim. And with respect to that audit in Indianapolis, Judge Guzman listened to that testimony. Well, let me back up. O'Donnell, that testimony that the laches defense was predicated on was full of memory lapses and holes. And despite that fact, and the fact that he still works for Kroger, Kroger elected not to call him to testify live at trial. O'Donnell's deposition testimony asserts that the Indianapolis audit did involve casuals, some of whom worked over a year. Even if you credit that doubtful testimony, it doesn't support Kroger's defense. O'Donnell didn't say how many of those people worked over a year. If it was only a handful at a facility that contributed over $1.3 million to the fund during the audited period, the rest of the reversal related to employees who worked only a month or two, there wouldn't be any reason for the fund to inquire further. O'Donnell also didn't say how long these people who allegedly worked over a year, how often these people who allegedly worked over a year, how often they worked. The district court correctly realized that it was just as likely that these people worked too sporadically to be classified as anything other than a casual. A few weeks in the summer, a week or two at Christmas time, a week at Thanksgiving. This conclusion is buttressed by the fact that the audit findings were reversed. Such conduct by the fund it's unlikely that the fund would have seen people working every week and then reversed the finding. It just doesn't make any sense. And Peter Prieta, who Mr. Brenneman mentioned, testified that the fund would not. He didn't recall the specific details of the audit, but the fund certainly just wouldn't pass on a viable contribution claim. Further, if the fund did do that, the trustees would have engaged in a prohibited transaction because they would have just passed on the amount owed to the fund, which is just not a likely inference that should be taken. Both Judge Guzman and Judge Kaur also there's another Kroger case right now. Judge Kaur recently ruled with respect to other Kroger locations where this practice was going on. He had reached the same conclusion as Judge Guzman with respect to the laches defense, both of them correctly determining that the underpayment at Indianapolis, even if it hadn't proved, had been proved, wouldn't provide sufficient notice of the underreporting at all the other facilities, because all these facilities are separate and distinct, and they're operating under different different local supplements.
Different state laws?
Well, I think a collective bargaining agreement's governed by federal law, but yes, they are in different states. So
as far as the statute of limitations, it doesn't matter what state, as long as the collective bargaining agreement dictates the statute of limitations?
Well, in this case, Your Honor, the statute of limitations provision is in the fund's trust agreement.
Is that universal?
That's for all employers in the fund, and that's the reason for it, that everybody gets treated the same.
Whether it's Kroger or anybody.
It doesn't matter if it's Kroger or anybody. All employers, it's a 10-year statute of limitations, and the point is we don't want to have an employer in one state to have a shorter period than an employer in another state. It's just a perfectly logical provision, and it benefits all of the everybody who participates in the fund. And if there's no other questions, we would just request that the decision of the district court be affirmed.
Okay, thank you.
Are those your papers there?
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Bramman.
Your Honor, just a few points that Mr. Madden addressed. He talked about a lot of facts that were adduced in the prior litigation. Your Honors, the fund attempted to get all those facts into evidence here by the doctrine of collateral estoppel, but Judge Guzman correctly denied that attempt. So it really was the fund's burden here as a plaintiff to prove all the facts that they intend to rely on here, and they haven't done that, because to the extent that he's citing from the other cases, they haven't proven those facts
But in this case, the two former managers, warehouse managers, testified, as well as the four employees, and there was no evidence put on by Kroger contrary to that the intent question.
Let me just address that. Those managers did testify via deposition. Mr. Madden has mischaracterized what the deposition testimony consisted of, because neither of those two managers testified, as Mr. Madden told this court just now, that the workers would inevitably become full-time permanent workers. There was no such evidence here. In fact, each of the managers testified that they told the workers, the applicants, they would be on call, would not be given benefits, and all the things that we've already discussed. What they did say, at most, was that, yes, you'll be hired, as Your Honor has pointed out, into this non-regular status. And by the way, in the first litigation, Judge Grady found, as a matter of fact, that the parties used synonymously part-time and casual, which might be one of the reasons for the confusion here. So they were used interchangeably. But in any event, the managers told the workers that, yes, they'd be hired into this non-regular position and may be given an opportunity, if they worked long enough and worked well enough, to bid on an opening if an opening were to occur. So there was nothing inevitable about the progression. Indeed, as we pointed out, the vast majority didn't make that progression.
Did not.
But they were put on the seniority list.
I want to address the seniority list, too, because they weren't put on the seniority list that I suspect Your Honor is referring to. They were not put on the seniority list with the regular employees. There was no evidence of that.
Did they have their own seniority list?
Essentially, yes. And the only thing that seniority list did was, as Your Honor essentially pointed out earlier, was to rank them in date of higher order. Seniority lists under the union contract mean lots of things. Bidding on jobs, vacation rights. There was none of that, no evidence of that in this case. And they certainly were not union members in the sense that there was a just cause for discharge. None of those indicia of regular status apply to these people. So
when they were on the list, that did give them some bidding rights for positions, or for when applying for positions, full-time positions that would come up. That list did have some meaning.
That was the only thing it meant.
And was that covered under the contract, the union contract? You're saying it didn't. That type of list?
That type of list, I agree, was not addressed or contemplated by any contract. But that's just the way that the employer did things to see who was hired at what point. I see my lights
yeah,
on.
Your time, I still want to ask you a question, and that is with regard to this statute of limitations. Your opponent says that the trust fund, I guess, has in it a universal 10-year statute of limitations.
It does.
How does the... It's your proposal for the two alternatives,
right,
which may sound attractive.
Yes.
But is it possible to apply them, given the trust fund's statute of limitation?
Yes.
Universal.
Yes, and the reason is, it's our position that ERISA preempts this.
So that's what it would take. And that would be a fairly major precedent, wouldn't it? For us to, even though it may, Judge Easterbrook's concurrence may be attractive, would it require that ERISA, by saying ERISA preempts all of this, would that override the trust fund's 10-year statute of limitation with all employers?
Yes, it would.
So that'd be pretty major, wouldn't it?
Well, it would certainly be an important step for this court to take, but I would submit it's a necessary step because even as Mr. Madden has pointed out, they are constantly litigating, spending resources, both judicial and the parties, on latches and all these other equitable tolling doctrines. So in all these cases brought by this fund, that provision of the trust agreement is there. But as you can see from the case law, the courts still have attempted to follow the line of reasoning in Del Castello and North Star Steel to find the most appropriate state limitation period, despite the fact that this boilerplate is in the trust document. They've had basically disregarded that in the Seventh Circuit. So for those reasons, we would urge this court to reverse on liability and on the limitations period at latches.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. In this case, we'll be